We continue our focus on the war in Israel by turning to the financial side of the matter. Being a world leader brings with it responsibilities. Among those is the support of our allies, especially when they're at risk. U.S. aid to Israel is a long-time example of how the U.S. lives up to that responsibility. This past week, the House of Representatives passed an aid to Israel bill as a sort of standalone. I'll say sort of because while it included $14.3 billion going to Israel, the bill also called for $14.3 billion to be cut from the IRS budget. Joining us to discuss this legislation, its importance, and some of the arguments being made against it is the Executive Vice President of Heritage Action, Ryan Walker. Thanks for being here today, Ryan.
Thank you for having me on.
HeritageAction.com. Learn more about the issues that Heritage Action places their focus on, the information education that they provide through their observations. As I said, the bill is aid to Israel, but if you look at it, you can say, okay, it's balancing spending and reducing to a push 14.3 out, but we're shaving 14.3 billion off the IRS budget. The Congressional Budget Office doesn't see it that way, though. They're saying that the proposal over 10 years would actually wind up costing $26.8 billion because if you reduce the amount of work the IRS can do, that will impact the revenue the IRS is able to get in through its various operations, activities, enforcing laws, et cetera, et cetera. Why the connection of IRS and aid to Israel? Where's the justification for that?
Yeah, great questions. So the package that the House put together this week included rescinding money that was passed in the Inflation Reduction Act, which I like to dub the Inflation Creation Act because I think it did the exact opposite. And the House Republicans' perspectives on this is they wanted to hire 80,000 additional IRS agents to go out and go after American taxpayers to audit them. And the Biden administration made many promises that individuals under $400,000 would not receive audits and there's nothing to worry about. But we know that that's not the case, and that's not how the IRS is going to implement this new funding and those new agents. So the Republicans are simply saying, let's have a debate about the IRS later, and right now we can use that funding to hire all those additional agents, which you haven't done yet, and we can send that money, or we can use that to pay for the aid going to Israel.
Having had contact with an organization, which I'm sure you're well aware of, Citizens Against Government Waste, they seem to be able to find plenty of, let's call it frivolous spending. The members of Congress call it earmarks, but you look at issue by issue and you can determine that on as an individual. But the Citizens Against Government Waste finds plenty of spending that could be cut. Why not look at what some of the items that they focus on? Or is that just an example of, well, the members of Congress want to do what they can to keep their jobs, and this is what they see as the best way of doing it?
Well, I think they certainly see this as a politically advantageous issue for them. If you look at how Americans feel about the IRS, I don't think I'm telling you any news here, but they don't like the IRS. And when they see that the IRS wants to hire 80,000 additional agents to do audits for everyone under the sun, that doesn't always, that often leads to Americans going through a long and excruciating process to provide receipts and all of those kinds of things to the IRS when they may not have done anything wrong to begin with. And then the other one was, I think the other point is timing. The House was looking to get this across the finish line relatively fast, knowing how the situation's unfolding there in Israel. And it would have taken time for them to talk amongst themselves and find those cuts that are already there in the budget that they could all agree to as the right ones to go after for paying for this funding to Israel. So I think it was both a timing question, and listen, the IRS is unpopular. The American people don't want to fund the agency any more than it already is, or as absolutely necessary. And so that's the decision that Speaker Johnson decided to make.
At the same time, you can say, too, if you look at polls, too, Congress doesn't exactly top the list of popularity either, but you might want to call that a push when you get down to it. As a side note, too, there's actually people who call this a bad bill for both counts. They call it a gift to the rich by defunding the IRS to that degree, and since they're against Israel, they call it anti-Palestinian, but that's another conversation another time. Let's take out the statement from the Congressional Budget Office. Let's just say, okay, $14.3 billion out, but we're going to shave $14.3 billion there. Hey, it's great to cut spending. It's a wonderful thing. It's great to have it happen. Where was this GOP during the Trump and George W. Bush years, however?
I think that's a great question. Listen, we're $33 trillion in debt, quickly going to $34. I think that this is a burden that both parties share. In fact, we know that it's a burden that both parties share. The conversations that we're having now as we go through the appropriations process and other legislative considerations is that Congress, for the first time in a really long time, is having a fulsome and complete debate over federal spending. And these all get at that question, right? The IRS funding is as much of a part of this as the increased funding for green subsidies or any of the other programs that were initiated by legislation like the Inflation Reduction Act. And I have hope because it seems like there is especially a high energy on the Republican side, but there are even Democrats who are willing to sit down and have a conversation over federal spending. So I agree with your point that this started a long time ago, but that shouldn't be justification for sitting on our hands now as we consider additional legislation.
Another fast side note, Ryan mentioned subsidies for green energy this past week. We just saw the result of how that can become more costly than planned as Ørsted pulled the plug on their offshore wind projects after receiving subsidies and tax breaks here for New Jersey and other places along the Eastern Seaboard. We're talking with Ryan Walker, Executive VP of Heritage Action, heritageaction.com on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Along with the spending, there's a little, oh, by the way, that some people want to gloss over that to me is troubling because the opposition to this bill, they are opposing it because it doesn't involve, they call it humanitarian assistance for Gaza, which more often than not winds up being money that lands in the pockets of Hamas, and they kind of don't want to talk about that, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, Hamas was, they took over the Gaza Strip, they control what comes in and out, and I think that you're blind if you aren't reading or knowledgeable of how Hamas operates in Gaza and controls its population. There are, in a sense, I don't want to say that there aren't in Gaza, but the control of humanitarian aid or any funds that go into Gaza, they are all controlled by Hamas. The leadership has to, by necessity, as part of their control operation for the population that lives there. So this idea that we would simply send funds especially, and aid like humanitarian aid, food and clothing and things of that nature to Gaza and not be controlled, I think they're just ignoring facts of the circumstance, and so we need to be very careful about that. There are a number of in fact, Israel cut off all the funding to Gaza yesterday or the day before because of this very reason. They use it as a weapon against its people.
About 30 seconds left here. Speaker Johnson says he wants to address Ukraine aid and border security funding separately. Does he need now to be consistent and say, okay, if we're going to spend X amount on border security, we have to find a place to shave that X amount from somewhere else in the budget?
Well, I think that those will be considerations, surely. And he will also have to confront that as it relates to Ukraine. There are a number of people, politicians, the administration has requested $60 billion for Ukraine. And they're really thinking about this on an annualized basis, which is sort of odd. So it will be a consideration going forward, and it should be. We should have the ability to prioritize spending in this country. And there are programs that are wasteful, duplicative, and unnecessary, and simply out of the jurisdiction of the federal government. So, yes, it absolutely needs to be a consideration moving forward in all programs, all programs.
He's the Executive Vice President of Heritage Action on the web, heritageaction.com. Ryan Walker, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me on.